the Prabhupada, Prabhupada Mahansa, Padivajakacharya, Asitara Saptashi Shimani, Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem Shri Kaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopina, Shamakunda, Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan ki jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Mathura Dham ki jai, Navadvip Dham ki jai, Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai, Jagannath Swami ki jai, Jamuna Mai ki jai, Ganga Mai ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Shri Mati Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Sama Veda Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, O Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. No, only Srila Prabhupada, Krishna Krishna, Vitale, Srimati, Bhakti, Vedanta, Sangha, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauranga, Vishnu, and Vishnu, and Vishnu. Reading today from Canto 2, Chapter 9. This chapter is called Answers by Citing the Lord's Version. We're on text number 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayana Narottamam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Satojayam Udirayat. Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Bhagavata Sevaya.
Bhagavati
Uttama Shloke.
Bhaktir
Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, unto Naranayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of God, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna. So here's text number 4. Atma tattva vishuddhyartham.
Atma tattva vishuddhyartham.
Atma tattva vishuddhyartham.
Atma tattva vishuddhyartham.
Yaha bhagavan ritam.
Yaha bhagavan ritam.
Yaha bhagavan ritam.
Yaha bhagavan ritam.
Brahmane darshayan rupam.
Brahmane darshayan rupam.
Brahmane darshayan rupam.
Brahmane darshayan rupam.
Avyalika Vratadrita. Avyalika Vratadrita. Atma tattva vishuddhyartham.
Atma tattva vishuddhyartham.
Yad aha bhagavan ritam.
Yad aha bhagavan ritam.
Brahmane darshayan rupam.
Brahmane darshayan rupam.
Avyalika Vratadrita.
Avyalika Vratadrita.
Please chant.
Atma tattva vishuddhyartham.
Atma tattva vishuddhyartham.
Yadaha
bhagavan ritam.
Brahmane darshan rupam.
Brahmane darshan rupam.
Avyalika Vratadrita.
Avyalika.
Yadaha bhagavan ritam.
Yadaha bhagavan ritam.
Brahmane darshayan rupam.
Atmatattva.
Atmatattva.
The science of God.
The science of God.
Or that of the living entity.
Or that of the living entity.
Vishuddha.
Vishuddha.
Vishuddhi, sorry. Purification.
Purification.
Artam.
Artam.
Goal.
Goal.
Yat.
Yat.
That which.
That which.
Aha.
Aha.
Said.
Said.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
The personality of Godhead.
The personality of Godhead.
Ritam.
Ritam.
In reality.
In reality.
Brahmane.
Brahmane.
Unto Lord Brahma.
Unto Lord Brahma.
Darshayan.
Darshayan.
By showing.
Rupam.
Eternal form.
Eternal form.
Avyalika.
Without any deceptive motive.
Vrata.
Vow.
Adrita.
Worshipped.
Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. O King, the personality of Godhead being very much pleased with Lord Brahma because of his non-deceptive penance in bhakti yoga, presented his eternal and transcendental form before Brahma. And that is the objective goal for purifying the conditioned soul. Let's say it together. O King, the personality of Godhead being very much pleased with Lord Brahma because of his non-deceptive penance in bhakti yoga, presented his eternal and transcendental form before Brahma. And that is the objective goal for purifying the conditioned soul. So what's the objective goal for purifying the conditioned soul? How about, yeah, okay, and to ultimately see the Supreme Personality of Godhead's form. Both are correct. Very good. Okay. Omaginati mirandasya jananjana salakaya chakshur uvinditam yena tasmai Sri Guru Vene Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I'm therefore indebted to him eternally and beg for service life after life. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So just to put in perspective, because this is a very dense, very densely philosophical chapter, these questions that were previously asked by Maharaj Parikit, you could almost say millions of questions in the previous chapter, aside from the questions that were asked in the first canto, the questions by the sages in the first canto, the six questions that the whole Bhagavatam is based on, Maharaj Parikit, now he's beginning his questions, and they're very interesting, aren't they? So this verse, today's verse, is the introduction to answer the question that he asked way back in chapter 8, text number 8. In text number 8 he asked, if the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whose abdomen the lotus stem sprouted, is possessed of a gigantic body according to his own caliber and measurement, then what is the specific difference? Here's the point. What's the specific difference between the body of the Lord and those of common living entities? So our verse today starts off with the Sanskrit term atmatattva. And you notice that Srila Prabhupada said in the word for word, it's the science of God or that of the living entity. So this is beginning, there's going to be a few verses talking about that. The difference between the Lord and the living entity. There's so many similarities and there's so many differences. And if one doesn't understand what the similarities are and what the differences are, then that creates a misdirected goal for the practitioner. Okay, so here's Srila Prabhupada's purport, the beginning of it. Atmatattva is the science of both God and the living entity. Both the Supreme Lord and the living entity are known as Atma. The Supreme Lord is called Paramatma, and the living entity is called the Atma, the Brahma, or the Jiva. Both the Paramatma and the Jivatma, being transcendental to the material energy, are called Atma. So that was a point that was very nicely brought up in Nagaraja's class on Monday. About how the living entity, the jivatma, the little teeny conditioned, well, not originally conditioned, but now conditioned soul, the little small little entity, we don't have, who we really are, doesn't have anything to do with material nature. Anything. No contact, no influence. So he brought it up so nicely, made it so clear. I thought, oh yeah, right. We don't have anything to do with the material nature, so how is it that we get all covered over? That was his class. This class is a different class, but still, the point is that here Prabhupada says, both the Paramatma and the Jivatma, being transcendental to the material energy, are called Maya. Oh, I'm in Maya. Called Atma, sorry. So Sukadeva Goswami explains this verse with the aim of purifying the truth of both the Paramatma and the Jivatma. So Sukadeva Goswami is purifying the truth. In other words, he's purifying the misconception. In other words, he wants to speak what the truthful position or qualities are of the Paramatma and the Jivatma. So he wants to purify those people who have misconceptions of the Paramatma and the Jivatma. Okay, here Prabhupada continues. Generally, people have many wrong conceptions about both of them. The wrong conception of the Jivatma is to identify the material body with the pure soul. Like, how often do we do that? Actually, it would be a more succinct question to ask, how often do we identify ourselves properly? You know, we can say, I'm a spirit soul. That's the easy part, the saying part. But the conception and acting and understanding what that means, that's the thing that comes through, like Lord Brahma, his non-deceptive penance to get to that point. We'll talk about that some more. Okay, so just read. The wrong conception of the Jivatma is to identify the material body with the pure soul. And the wrong conception of the Paramatma is to think of him, Krishna, the Paramatma, on an equal level with the living entity. And that's one of the difficulties in the that conception of yoga where they're meditating on the self. And then if they get to the point where they're actually so purified that they can see that the Lord reveals himself in the heart, if they don't have the proper fundamental principles of who the Lord is and who the Jiva is, then they think, that's who I am. I'm that Paramatma, I'm the Lord. And then the whole course of their life gets, you know, misdirected and that's what it means in the first couple of verses of the Bhagavatam, second verse. Dharma projika kaitavo, kaitava dharma, cheating religion, where people get cheated out of, what are they getting cheated out of? They're getting cheated out of their rightful inheritance, their rightful understanding that I'm an eternal spirit soul, servant of the Lord, and my position is sat, chit, and ananda, eternally blissful, and that ananda comes from understanding who I am as a servant of God. And it's always increasing. Whereas someone who makes some progress in spiritual understanding, makes some progress and can distinguish between matter and spirit, not this, not that, you know, matter and spirit, this and that, but then misconceives who they really are, they get cheated out of that ananda buddhivardhanam, that eternally ever-increasing bliss that one... It's inherent in the pure soul of one who engages in the Lord's service. And that's cheating. Okay, so they get cheated. Okay, both misconceptions can be removed by one stroke of bhakti yoga. Just as in the sunlight, both the sun and the world and everything within the sunlight are properly seen. And this is the beauty of these analogies. Because when you explain philosophical terms or philosophical concepts, it's, you know, in and of themselves, they're a little bit difficult to grasp. Some are more difficult than others. But with these little analogies, like this analogy here, just as the sunlight, just as in the sunlight, both the sun and the world and everything within the sunlight are properly seen. So when the light of the sun first comes up, then you can see the forms and shapes and colors. Now previously in the dark, if you got up early enough before the sun rose, you can still see things, some things, and maybe shapes and maybe forms, and maybe you're familiar, oh, that's my car over there, or that's the house, here's the tree, this and that. But when the sun comes up, you can see distinctly everything, and all the other things that you couldn't see in the dark, you know, the little things that you couldn't see. So that sunlight, that of knowledge, of pure knowledge, when it's in line with the parampara, that realization will illuminate who the Lord is, who the living entity is, what their relationship is, and what their differences are. In the darkness, Srila Prabhupada continues, in the darkness one cannot see the sun, nor himself, nor the world. But in the sunlight one can see the sun, himself, and the world around him. Srila Sukadeva Goswami therefore says that for purification of both wrong conceptions, the Lord presented his eternal form before Brahmaji, being fully satisfied by Brahma's non-deceptive vow of discharging bhakti yoga. So there's a lot right there. So let's unpack that a tad. So, and Prabhupada had said it in a sentence before, that both misconceptions can be removed by one stroke of bhakti yoga. So it's not, so the misconception that the yogis have, or could possibly have, that they're equal, they are that paramatma, it's all one, I and the Lord are one, we're all one, I am that Lord. That misconception, if one has to work it out by some other means, whatever, it takes a long time. But by just opening Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing Bhagavatam from the beginning, and the position of the Lord is explained, the position of the living entity is explained, and just by that, that misconception can be vanquished quite easily if one is honest. We'll get to that in a little bit. Similarly, if somebody has the other misconception that, let's go back to that sentence where Prabhupada says, the wrong conception of the jivatma is to identify the material body with the pure soul. So that misconception that everybody in the material world has, that I think I'm my body, that also, it doesn't require a different process of rectification. The same, all the misconceptions can all be cured or straightened out by the process of bhakti yoga, because the process and the knowledge that's given through the parampara is so full, and the process of devotional service is so easily doable for all classes of people. Okay, and then there's this term, non-deceptive vow of discharging. The Lord was fully satisfied by Lord Brahma's non-deceptive vow of discharging bhakti yoga. So that caught my attention. What does that mean, a deceptive? Who's undertaking, what does that mean, a deceptive vow for realization? So it means that when somebody's performing something for an impure motive, they're deceived and they're going to be cheated also. So if somebody's performing religion, right, involved in contemporary religious activities, for what? What's their motive? Is the motive to please the Supreme Lord? That's one thing. But if the motive is that if I do good things, I'll get good results and then I'll enjoy those results, that's a that's deceptive. They're being deceptive, and therefore they're going to get misled and cheated. And again, same point, similar, that I made earlier, was that cheated out of a rightful inheritance of unlimited, ever-increasing bliss. That's our rightful inheritance. In other words, it's not that your father just left you $2 million and your uncles just cheated you out of that. I'm just using an example, you know what I mean? And you're only getting $20 or $200 or whatever. That's cheating also. But your father left you unlimited money and you're not getting any of it. That's really cheating. And that's, you know, taking that to people's misconception of what it means to love God or what it means to serve God. They get cheated out of that. And there's plenty of, as Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta often would say, this material world is full of cheaters and the cheated. So there's plenty of people to cheat one out of their rightful inheritance or their rightful identity or their rightful understanding of who they are. And there's plenty of people who want something cheap, something, you know, and therefore get cheated. So there's misconceptions all around. But Srimad Bhagavatam is there to cut right through that and put things in a proper perspective. Srila Sukadeva Goswami therefore says that for purification of both wrong conceptions, the Lord presented his eternal form before Brahmaji. Oh yeah, that's another point, his eternal form. Being fully satisfied by Brahma's non-deceptive vow of discharging bhakti yoga. Except for bhakti yoga, any method for realization of atma tattva or the science of atma will prove deceptive in the long run. So now, in this next paragraph, I believe he's going to talk about the Lord's form, if I remember correctly. So if not, we'll come back to how the Lord presented himself before Brahma, so Brahma could, after his 1,000 years, 1,000 celestial years of doing penance, after only, all he heard was tapa, 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 and he knew what to do, and he did it for 1,000 celestial years, meditating on the Supreme Lord. And therefore the Lord was pleased. In other words, the Lord, another little point, side point, the Lord, the knowledge of the Lord is revealed in the heart. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye. Adikavaye. Brahma. He was, the knowledge of the Vedic information was revealed to the Lord through his heart, because that Krishna is there in the heart. He's there, right there, guiding the living entity and guiding every, not just guiding the big guys, Brahma, this one, that one. He's guiding every living entity. Just like the example that Mukik read about the devotees in Ukraine going, leaving their spot that they always go to distribute food to get Prabhupada's books and coming back and finding that the place had just been hit by a missile. And because, and that's another way, you missed that, Div, it was a really good example. A really, really graphic reality check. How Krishna is directing the wanderings of all living entities in so many ways. They weren't thinking, Krishna is telling us to move from this place, let's go get Prabhupada's books and then come back because something. They weren't thinking, they were just, go get the books. Krishna's just saying, go get Prabhupada's books. They're going to get Prabhupada's books and they come back. And so all of those things are happening because that supreme connected Lord is in the heart of every living entity and he's directing the wanderings of all living entities and especially for his devotees. Okay. I'm going to go on. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that only by bhakti yoga can one know him perfectly and then one can enter into the science of God. Brahmaji undertook great penance in performing bhakti yoga, and thus he was able to see the transcendental form of the Lord. That's another interesting point. Brahmaji undertook, as we mentioned, a thousand celestial years of penance, of meditation, and then the Lord revealed himself. And Prabhupada says, or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, only partially. He didn't. All the truths regarding the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna were not revealed to Brahma at that particular point. So, what's the translation for us is, we have to do our work. Yes, we're dependent on the Lord and the spiritual master for their showers of mercy upon us, But we have to do our work. And so what's our work? Our work is given to us in the sense, in the performance of our sadhana, our daily sadhana. And by, what's a nice word? Vigilantly? Yeah, thanks. Vigilantly performing our sadhana and trying to chant daily with attention and bring back that restless, wandering mind that just loves to go off into la-la land every time you pick up your beads. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. And one thing I've been doing lately, just personally, is every time I can remember Krishna for a half a second, because that's about the length of it, I say, thank you. Thank you for that remembrance. Can you, let me remember, can you give me another one too? Anyway, Hare Krishna. But so that's our part of the deal. Our part of the deal is, yeah, it would really be nice if we got touched on the head by the magic wand and became, you know, pure devotees and totally realized and this and that. And that can happen, and it has happened many times, but more likely is that we have to put in our endeavor, and our increasing endeavor. An increasing endeavor doesn't it can mean different things to different people at different stages in their life, but basically our basic program of following the four regulative principles, chanting Hare Krishna, and eating Bhishadam, reading Prabhupada's books, we could go on for a few minutes, you know, eating Bhishadam, reading Prabhupada's books, you know, talking about Krishna, etc., etc., by making that endeavor and personalizing it. For someone it might be engaging in this type of activities, for someone else might be engaging in more intellectual type of activities, whatever it is, just whatever your inclination is, find something that you like to do for Krishna and do it. Because that way, your enthusiasm will always increase. Okay, sorry, I'll go back. Brahmaji undertook great penance in performing bhakti yoga, and thus he was able to see the transcendental form of the Lord. His transcendental form is 100% spiritual, and one can see him only by spiritualized vision after proper discharge of tapasya or penance in pure bhakti yoga. The form of the Lord manifest before Brahma is not one of the forms in which we have experience in the material world. Prabhupada, this is a really nice sentence, Prabhupada. It's a typical Prabhupada sentence. Brahma did not perform such severe types of penance just to see a form of material production. He didn't do that. Therefore, the question by Maharaj Parikrit about the form of the Lord is answered. He was asking, what is that form of the Lord? How is it manifest? The form of the Lord is Sat-Chit-Ananda, or eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And then he makes the comparison. But the material form of the living being is neither eternal nor full of knowledge nor blissful. And I don't think anyone would dare argue with that, because none of us were born just yesterday. That's the distinction between the form of the Lord and that of the conditioned soul. So the material form is not eternal, it's not full of knowledge, it's not blissful. But the spirit soul, the individual jiva-atma spirit soul, is eternal, is full of knowledge, and is blissful. And the Supreme Lord is also eternal, full of knowledge and blissful. And the difference between those two pure entities is quantity. The qualities are the same. The quality of the pure jiva is full of knowledge, full of bliss, and full of and eternal. But the quantity is much less. The Lord is unlimitedly full of those things, unlimitedly. And the living entity gets a little taste of it. And then it gives a nice example so that you can grab the concept again. There's the ocean water, the salt water in the ocean, it's practically immeasurable. And the salt water of one drop, if you measure it, it's proportionately right, but it's obviously, there's a huge difference between one drop of salt water and an ocean of salt water. That is the distinction between the form of the Lord and that of the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul, however, can regain his form of eternal knowledge and bliss simply by seeing the Lord by means of bhakti yoga. And that was referring to Brahma, because Brahma performed his penances for 1,000 celestial years and got to see the form of the Lord, and therefore was completely purified. And he was actually completely purified, and therefore he got to see the form of the Lord. Okay, here's Prabhupada's last paragraph. The summary is that due to ignorance, the conditioned soul is encaged in the temporary varieties of material forms. But the Supreme Lord has no such temporary form like the conditioned soul. He is always possessed of an eternal form full of knowledge and bliss. And that is the difference between the Lord and the living entity. One can understand this difference by the process of bhakti yoga. Brahma was then told by the Lord the gist of Srimad Bhagavatam in four original verses, which we'll get to in this very chapter, the ninth chapter of Canto 2, the last verses. There's actually six verses that the Lord spoke, but those four verses are considered the seed verses. I'll go back. One can understand the difference by the process of bhakti yoga. Brahma was then told by the Lord the gist of Srimad Bhagavatam in four original verses. Another point about those four verses is that's what he heard. He heard those four verses of Bhagavatam, box. And because he was purified, because he was great exalted personality, he could understand all of the import and message of the Bhagavatam. And he told those verses to Narada, Narada to Vyasa, blah, blah, and extrapolated on those very things. Thus, this topic of Srimad Bhagavatam is the science of both the Lord and the living entity. And here's the cure. Regular reading or hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam is also performance of bhakti yoga, and one can attain the highest perfection simply by association with Srimad Bhagavatam. Both Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit attained perfection through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's also very interesting. So Sukadeva Goswami was on the level of the spiritual master. Maharaj Parikshit was on the level of the student. Both of them attain perfection through the method or the medium of hearing and speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's what is our opportunity also. It's mentioned many verses in the Bhagavatam, but also in the first canto, chapter 7, text number 7. Yasyam vaishuyamanayam krishne paramapuruṣe bhakti upadite pumsam shoka moka bhayapaha. Simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling for loving devotion to the Lord sprouts up at once in the heart because it's already there. It just gets that hearing. That's like the watering and the perfect sunlight. So the seed sprouts. It's there. It just needs to have the right atmosphere. So that atmosphere that causes, that enables the seed of bhakti to sprout in the heart is the transcendental vibration of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So, and that sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of shoka, moka, and maya, of lamentation, fearfulness, and illusion. Yeah, an illusion. So that's our, so the living entity in his illusion state, all we have to do is just like open up the Srimad Bhagavatam. And by reading that transcendental sound vibration and transcendental words and of Srimad Bhagavatam, then it touches the heart and it resonates within the heart. And the more one does that, accompanied by the other angas, limbs of devotional service, then the more rapidly the purification takes place and the more quickly one comes to his constitutional position, one becomes more and more enlivened and more blissful. And so the point of this verse, or in the purport, Srila Prabhupada said, that both wrong conceptions, the conception of someone who might think that they are one with the Supreme Lord, or they are the Supreme Lord, and the conception of the living entity who's thinking that, no, I'm my body, both of those conceptions can be eradicated by hearing the Bhagavatam. Haribol. Questions, comments, or corrections to?
Haribol. So, as we go on with the process of Bhakti Yoga, the soul awakens slowly. I get more easy how the soul is eternal, but full of knowledge is something I have difficulties with, because with the old age catching up and you can't remember verses and so on and so forth, it just looks like you're getting less opportunity to be knowledgeable. So how do you see that full of knowledge that is awakening?
Okay, well then you just have to remember what's full of knowledge. The soul is full of knowledge. The body is near asat, achit, and nirananda. The body is temporary, miserable, and not full of knowledge. So the fact that you and I, and maybe a couple of other people in this room, are forgetting things as the body deteriorates, as we enter, we're fully charging ahead in the dwindling stage of our life, that has nothing, and that's the thing, has nothing to do with the soul. Amazing, isn't it? Like, if you remember to that nice class that Nagaraj gave on Monday, when he was making the point, it's like the soul has nothing to do with this material body. Or put it this way, we're all misidentified with it. We think this is me. We have to, and we hear, oh yeah, you're not your body. And we think, oh yeah, I'm not my body. But what that really means, and how we're acting practically 24/7 on the fact that I think I'm my body, you know, takes a while to wash off. So, what would you like to say?
Okay, I get that. That's easy. Okay, so the full of knowledge manifests how?
But full of knowledge will manifest, and it is manifesting in the fact that in spite of the difficulties of your body and the challenges that you have, you're still trying to engage in devotional service. So, because why? Because you and I both theoretically understand that we're not our body, we accept that, and we're trying to act on that platform. So many other people who would be having physical challenges wouldn't be doing what you're doing. But you're doing it, why is it motivation? Because I want to please Srila Prabhupada, I want to do this, I want to act in the right position, and I want to, perhaps you're thinking, I also want to get out of this body and get a better facility to serve the Lord. So that's how it's manifesting. It's manifesting, and how is it manifesting day in and day out? Because you continually hear. It's not that you heard 30 years ago and you're still, you know what I mean? You did hear 30 years ago and maybe even more, but because we're constantly hearing, we're constantly staying spiritually fit, even though materially it's collapsing.
Okay. So as I hear you, the full of knowledge is like a manifestation of our action according to what we have realized.
Yes, and in other words, full of knowledge doesn't mean that you know how many black squares are in the temple room floor and how many white squares, and if you did, then you'd be full of knowledge. How many windows are in the Empire State Building? They asked one time, the devotees asked that to Prabhupada. Or something. Does the pure devotee know how many windows are in the Empire State Building? And Prabhupada looked at him like, you know, in the sense of like, you're not understanding what full knowledge means. Knowledge means knowledge of eternity, knowledge of Krishna, of a relationship with Krishna, knowledge of what is pleasing to Krishna. The details of the material world, even if one was a big, you know, computer programmer or tech designer or CEO of this or that or, you know, whatever. You know, that's avidya. That's not going to help that person make progress in spiritual life. not simple knowledge of the difference between the body and the soul and Krishna and the relationship, that's knowledge. We have, and I also suffer from this, we have this misconception of what knowledge is, and I think, oh, I'm not very intelligent, I'm this and that, I can't remember, blah, 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 you know, and that's totally true. But real knowledge is to know, you know, about Krishna and the spiritual master. Spiritual knowledge.
Pick therefore, up. The devotee who couldn't even read
exactly.
Was full of knowledge.
Perfect example.
Yeah.
All perfect right. Example. Madhu, did you have a comment? What did you say? I forgot it already.
Something about Krishna is perfect. Yeah. Because the Brahmin that couldn't read, was reading the book upside down, he was still full of.
Okay, so do you remember that example? I'm sure you do. The Brahmin from South India, when Lord Chaitanya saw him reading the book upside down, and he said, but he's crying. He's crying because he's realizing how kind Krishna is. That's the knowledge that's perfect. The being able to read the words and the verses helps, but that's not particularly or specifically knowledge. But the knowledge of my relationship with Krishna and his kindness towards the living entity and his love for the living, that's real knowledge. Okay? Thanks. Madhu?
Thank you for your class. I had a comment. Your class helped me realize today, or have some thought, that why the living entity may think he is God. Because we are the same constitution, mm-hmm. Drop, and he's the ocean. And when you're becoming purified, when you're not in that situation where one is purified from material, thinking I'm not this body, and so he's thinking, who am I? And because they're kind of in a purer state, then it's you can see that how actually one starts thinking they're God because we are of the same nature as God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of very scary.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what Prabhupada said, that's the last snare of Maya.
Right, it is.
Wow, I mean, that's...
There's knowledge there.
Yeah.
But it's incomplete.
It's incomplete, and so you're thinking,
there's
because we're the...
There's progress to understand all those things, but it's incomplete, and therefore it's a huge deviation. Krishna, he let me find it in Bhagavad Gita. Second chapter, verse 29. Ascharya vat... Paschiti kaschit enam ascharya vat vadati tatai vachanya ascharya vach chainam anya shrinoti shruvapyanam veda na chaiva kaschit. Some look on the soul as amazing, some describe him as amazing, and some hear of him as amazing, while others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all. Another little point, that the power of the soul, the real I, that is, unlimited, in one sense, within the parameters of, the limitations of the jiva, but it's unlimited, and that's who we really are, but we're not realizing that too much. Yes, Divyanga Prabhu.
I just was reminded when I heard about the missile blowing up thing that I was just talking to Bhakti Bhai Babaswami one time.
Oh.
We were just hanging out, and we were talking about Sankirtan.
You're in good association.
And he told me he was in Beirut going door to door distributing books. Beirut, back in the 70s,
during
the late 70s. And he met this really nice Muslim family, and he sold them a bunch of books in their apartment building. And then he left the building, and he was walking down the street, and he got down the street, and the building exploded. So when I heard that about that, it reminded me of that story, because, I mean, I've had a lot of strange things happen to me on Sankirtan, but I never had the building explode when I went to it. But Bhakti Bhai Babaswami was there, and he was on his own. He was just there.
Yeah.
He was a brahmachari. He was just going on Sankirtan.
Those stories, they're so amazing, and there's probably quite a few more stories like that.
That's why it's always good to speak them, because they're very faith-building stories, you know? You know? Thank you. Other comments or questions or? Another comment, okay. That's okay.
Well, it just reminded me of the, you know.
Go ahead, that's good.
Yeah, going out for Srila Prabhupada is amazing, because I think that to a certain extent we don't even know how much Krishna is doing around us. We're not even aware of it. It's so fantastic.
Right. Thank you. Very nice. And with that we'll end, and we'll try to be more aware. And that's a small little comment too. Is sometimes we think, you know, oh, this person gave me something that was very nice of them, this happened by chance, or this arranged. It's all Krishna. He's arranging everything. And that's our duty, is to remember how dependent we are on him for his arrangement. Jai Srila Prabhupada, ki jai, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai, Gopala.